Accession number 20376, Reel 4.
Peter Fisher, Reel 4. You said a little bit about the contrast between English and American attitudes and stubbornness and so on.
Yeah.
But is there anything else you can say about your other contact with the Allied troops in Korea?
Contact with other Allied troops. The only contact I had was with the 3rd Royal Australian Regiment. Sometimes they come visiting with a bottle of whiskey, welcome visitors. And they're one of us. They're just as bloody minded as the Aussies. But we never had any contact with the Yanks. I saw some, but never had any contact. Because the thing is, when you're with an infantry battalion, you're at rest. Or when the line is static, as it became in late 1951. And then all the way throughout 1952 and for the 6 months of 1953, the line was static down that. And the Commonwealth Division had this, in fact, it was a gateway down the Samichon, as a gateway that could open up to Seoul. Important. I think that's why they put us there. At that point, that's why one of the reasons why we, in October 51, they tidied up the line by taking those two big hills, 227, 355, at the top of the Samichon. It took a long time for the Chinese, for instance, to cotton on, and they switched their attention to the Hook. It was just around the corner from where we'd been, the Hook. That was absolute hell. If you've talked to anybody that was on the Hook, from the Duke of Wellington's or anyone like that, that was hellish towards the end of the war. But that's a much smaller thing, and there again, the gateway to Seoul. But the Brits still stuck on the Hook. Nobody shifted them off. They might get pushed off, but then they go back onto it again, straight away, as though they'd never left it. But the Commonwealth Division came about, for instance, the first troops that went out to Korea was the 41 Marine Commando as a land force unit that got involved, quickly followed with the 27th Brigade, the Middlesex and Argyll and Sutherland Islanders. And they were down though in the Pusan perimeter where they got pushed right down to the south of Korea. It was the Incheon landing behind Seoul that made them scuttle back. That's how they gained a lot of ground very quickly. And then round above Seoul, that's where it became hellish. And that's where the first winter really was bad. But the Yanks didn't know how to fight individual battalions like the Middlesex and the... Okay, they put together, but two British battalions, they behave differently. They go about war in a different way to the Brits. And they didn't know how to use those two battalions, you know, properly. And they had no independence, such as they might get in a British brigade within a British division. And in fact, and things that I've been reading in the newspapers, particularly in the Times for 1951, there's reports coming out from Tokyo, from headquarters, about the Commonwealth people, not a Commonwealth division. And one of the things that came out, once they got more, well, say, three infantry brigades out there, and Australians, Francis Pat, Canadian Light Infantry, one French unit, Belgium unit, some Turks, and it was the Yanks who wanted them to become a division on their own, fighting on their own in connection with what's to the right and left flank, but fighting on their own, independently with their own tanks, their own guns, artillery, you know, everything to use as they want, instead of having to beg, can we have a stonk, you know, from some American battery that, in fact, would switch from the British needs to their own needs at, you know, the snap of their fingers. They didn't know how to fight this. And they... it was they who particularly wanted to get this Commonwealth Brigade formed that could be used independently as a total unit. And that's why they used us down the Samichon at that time, a complete Commonwealth division, as a complete unit. You're all interdependent, really, but you're an independent unit. You've got your own force supplies and everything. Lorry transports. I mean, the Middlesex and Argyll's never had any transports. I mean, the Yanks wouldn't move without transport. Somebody told me today about some Yanks saying, "Oh, we're going off to so and so. Where's that? Oh, 15 miles away. Where's the transport?" The Brits would walk it. Wouldn't think twice about it. Automatically walk it. And I think I mentioned before, well, certainly in Korea, I had a reputation for bugging out. If things got too hot, okay, to the Gloucesters, to the Ulsters, Northumbers, to whoever was there, having 20 to 1 odds, that was normal. Well, it's abnormal odds, really, but that's how the Chinese outnumbered. And, okay, we stuck it out to manage them, but the Yanks wouldn't. They'd stick it for a bit and then they'd pull out. On the other hand, there's the 7th US Marine Corps are out there, and the Marine boys have a reputation for being rough and tough. But it's a different attitude. It's a training, okay, we're going to take this goddamn hill sort of thing anyway. So it's full frontal charge. So we're going to have 50% casualties. The Brits don't fight for 50% casualties. They'll be aiming at minimum. If they can aim at 10, well, that's too many, but okay, that's it. But not the Yanks.
Any contact with Korean civilians?
Not a lot. I mean, well, you can imagine up in the line what Korean civilian would be up there in the right state of mind. There's none. But back at rest, sometimes we get just a few that might be bringing eggs and things like that around to sell, because they know there's a ready market. Things like eggs, which cook very, very easily. Always a ready market from them. But we did have Korean porters and grandfellas. In fact, we owed, in many instances, the hills in Korea, they have to be seen to be believed. I know when I came home, 1952, it'd be about 1956, 4 years later, I went up to the Lake District. And as I was approaching the Lake District and saw all these hills, one after, you know, behind, rows and rows behind, I thought, bloody hell, I'm back in Korea. And it alarmed me. But, and you can imagine an entire country, especially the northern part, there is some big plains, agricultural plains, but even then there's hills just rise steeply out of them, and the northern part is nothing but hills, and in between, that's where they have the paddy fields, you know, in fact, cut into steps on the hillside. And it's nothing but hills. Steep hills, not just shallow. When you talk about hills, you know, high ground in 1418, a matter of 10 metres was high ground. And that's what the poor devils were fighting for. You know, just again, that little here you're talking about, you know, hundreds of metres. And, okay, if there's a high one, there's always another higher one. And the idea is, of course, if you survey from the high ground, you've got some control over. But the Chinese, when they came into it, as against the North Koreans, huge numbers, but they moved at night. And whereas we were perched up on hilltops, the valleys, in the pitch of night, it's amazing. Mind you, moving with virtually no equipment, they'd be moving very, very quietly to infiltrate behind. And that's how they did a lot of their encirclements.
Are you glad or sorry that you did national service?
That's a hard one. I mentioned earlier I got my first bit of responsibility as company clerk that affected the rest of my life. I've had nothing but jobs of responsibility since. I've not been afraid of it. And thanks to what I did in the army, but sometimes try to imagine what life would have been like if I'd not done national service. I think I would have been the poorer for it, but you suffer for it as well. Okay, it's not, I'm not suffering through wounds or anything like that, but as I wrote in another poem, sort of thing. Okay, no crippling injuries or anything like that, but the mind is just crippled, it's lopsided. No, leave it.